This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's out back on the fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call on this Friday. The main talking point, we'll get into the hockey game from last night in a little bit. The main talking, and we're going to open with that until the Yankees' facial hair policy changed. So we'll get into that coming up a little bit later on. And, you know, we'll hear from Hal Steinbrenner. And I guess, Cashman, you said that too, BT. He's supposed to speak as well on
this?
Yeah,
that's what I was told, yeah.
Now, the Yankees are playing their first game today, right?
Yes, sir.
Is that 1 o'clock?
Yeah. Yes, on the lineup already.
Is it on Yes Network or no? Do we know that?
That I don't know.
Or somewhere where we could actually watch the game? Because I'd love to be able to sit here for the first hour and put on that. Watch a little Yankee baseball. After their outing last night, they had the team barbecue.
Yeah,
little,
so the new patio. Yeah, they got a new they pumped in a lot of money to Steinbrenner because the Rays are playing there. It looks phenomenal.
You think Booney took a couple more L's in cornhole last night?
I mean, what's with the Booney slander
here?
You're always getting
just,
on my boy.
I'm just saying.
The guy did it a home run to send him to the World Series years ago.
I remember. It is on Yes, the game.
Nice.
Yeah, no, I remember. I remember the home run. I'm talking about the stuff. I'm not talking about baseball.
I know. You see who's leading off, by the way?
No, give me the lineup.
I got to get it back up. Hold on.
Is it Dominguez?
It is Jason.
We
got it. Volpe, now there's a bunch of, I think there's five regulars. I'm just punching it back up. Hold on one sec.
Is Judge playing?
Judge is not. I actually read last night that he's not, so I was not surprised, or that he would not be. So I was not surprised when I saw
that. Here Soto, by the way, will be making his Mets debut tomorrow when they play their first game.
Soto.
Okay, go ahead. Give me the Yankee line.
You got slipped that in, you idiot. I've got Dominguez 1, Bellinger 2. Goldie in the 3 spot, which I don't see happening during the season.
So they are, you know, you and I, we've done these lineups.
Yeah.
This is exactly what I wanted. I said the number one thing that I want is Bellinger in front of Judge.
Yeah.
I do think that is going to happen. So Judge is going to be the 3 hitter.
I'd like to see it. I don't have a major issue with that. Goldie is 3, Judge not playing today. Jazz in the 4 hole, Volpe 5. And then they've got, you know, a bunch of guys that aren't going to be on the team, I would imagine.
Okay.
You know, Pereira might be on the team, but he's playing. Stroman on the hill. Peraza playing third. Pablo Reyes in right. And J.C. Oscar behind
the plate. I love baseball, man. I can't wait for spring training.
Too.
This is going to be great. We put the game on at 1, have some fun watching it. So Dominguez, so my question here before we get back to the calls about the facial hair stuff, do you think we should or can read into this? I do think that we can. And instead of Goldschmidt, because no Judge, I think it's going to be Dominguez, Bellinger, Judge.
Mm-hmm.
Then the question is, do they go
Wells?
I think Jazz, based on today. Now, Wells isn't in there.
Wells is not playing. Remember, he just started swinging late. I saw him rock one yesterday off. Who did he hit that off? It wasn't Luis Gil. But he didn't swing right away, so he was a little bit behind. So he's not really ready to play games.
So it's probably going to be, I would say, and give me the, who's behind Jazz hitting fourth?
Behind Jazz is Volpe's hitting 5.
Volpe, okay. So I think that it's going to be Dominguez,
yep.
Bellinger, Judge,
mm-hmm.
Jazz, Goldie.
Okay.
Wells, Volpe.
That's not impossible.
Now, the other way could be, instead of Goldie, now this is obviously with Stanton out, Volpe 5, Wells 6, Goldie 7.
I don't think Volpe's hitting 5 to start.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that.
And based on him having Goldie 3 today, mm-hmm. would make me think he's going to have Goldie backup Jazz in that lineup.
Yep.
Wells to split lefty-righty, Volpe 7.
Yeah, because otherwise you could easily put Bellinger 3 unless you're prepping Dominguez and Bellinger to get used to having a little chemistry 1-2.
I think it's going to be Dominguez, Bellinger, Judge is the top 3. Dominguez, Bellinger, Judge, Jazz.
I already have my vote, Sal, for who's going to look the best with facial hair on the Yankees.
Hmm.
Who do you think?
Give me a second here to think mm-hmm. this through. Who would want to grow the hair, number one?
Yep. Some guys can't. Jeter didn't have a lot of facial hair. I don't think Judge really gets a lot of facial hair
pitcher
either.
Pitcher or position player?
Position player.
Go ahead, give me it.
Wells.
Doesn't he have the mustache already?
He's got the stash.
Is there
a little Mattingly-esque.
Is there anybody else that you would even think would be in the conversation? Like, Stanton doesn't seem like a big facial hair guy to me.
I agree. Bellinger seems fairly clean-shaved as well.
Is he even old enough to grow facial hair?
He's old enough, but I don't know how thick it comes in. I don't see Volpe doing that.
Bellinger,
I could see Jazz doing something stylish.
Okay.
I think Jazz having a little fun.
Well, either way, it'd be a nice little... Devin Williams for sure is going to get his thing back. BT and Sal on the Fan. Mike is in Farmingdale. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
Just a quick comment. Yes, quick comment. Two or three quick points on the facial hair, and if I could wish a happy birthday to a friend of mine. Anyway, I think this is embarrassing for the. I'm a Met fan, Yankee hater, by the way. But I think this decision it should have been made many, many years ago. I think they're making it now because they realized that the Mets took Soto from them, and it was embarrassing for them.
Mike.
They saw what the contract that they signed with Alonso finally. And they're making a play for Guerrero. And they realize they're not the bullies in the league anymore. They haven't won in ages. They're not going to have any more dynasties. The Dodgers are signing everybody. And they got Steve Cohen across town right now. And if they lose Guerrero to Steve Cohen, it's going to be even more embarrassing.
Mike, I think you're nuts.
I think they should have.
Mike, hold on a second. Mike.
And it shouldn't just be well-groomed. They should take it should be no beard or grow your beard.
Well, I mean, that's according to you. That's not according to them. This is going to be a lot of Met-Yankee crossover. To think that the Yankees are doing this because of the Mets is one of the wildest, wackiest things I've heard in a long time.
Ridiculous. I would definitely say that it has nothing to do with the Mets. Although, do you think that, the Mets did take Soto from them, and forget just going head-to-head with them, because I don't think it's that. It's much bigger than that. But maybe after losing Soto and just trying to evolve with the times and... Whether you get criticism for losing Soto or criticism for this policy, like it's just one way that they could say, okay, we could evolve and change. Obviously, not directly to do with the Mets, but there does seem to be that looser type, family-oriented environment as mm-hmm. opposed to the structure.
More structure.
Okay, so that's I think the caller is nuts with his Yankee hate and Mets love. So I disagree with that part of it, but maybe there is something, and it has nothing to do with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. or whatever, but do you think maybe that's a part of it? They see how others are operating and how the Mets have had success.
It could be a reaction to what the modern athlete is used to. You know, right. I don't know, and I want to certainly be fair to everybody. I know when I see Met clips on social media, down in Port St. Lucie, I hear a lot of music.
Yep.
You know, music's banging, it's loose, it's good. I don't think, do the Yankees do that? I don't know. And I would imagine that most of the teams are doing that because it becomes so monotonous. You've got to create a looseness. Now, all right, I think the last caller's nuts here, but you know, you have heard Juan Soto talk about the vibe in Mets camp, and it's a little different. There's something to be said for things being a little too professional or conservative or stuffy,
right.
Whatever word you want to use. It is 2025, and athletes are, like, their experience is not our experience growing up. Our dads,
right.
Our dads were tough on us.
Right.
With everything. The earrings, the jewelry,
respect.
The respect.
It was a big respect.
All that stuff. What I wore, you name it, it was a battle.
It was why? Because I said so.
Oh, yeah.
So it was respect. It wasn't like, because I want you to look proper, it's because I said so.
Yes.
Don't question.
Yes, and how much, let's just take a sidestep here. How much did that answer bother you?
Because I
said so.
Yeah.
It leaves nothing to interpret. It leaves nothing to discuss. And truth of the matter is, and I've done some reading on this, actually, now I think some of these psychologists go way overboard. Sometimes you just got to say, because I said so. That's just tough. But if you're a kid, if you're 8 or 9 or 10, and you just hear, because I said so, I don't know if that's the best for development, actually, because there's nowhere to go from there except probably internal anger.
No, but what it does is let you know who's in charge.
Agreed. That's why I'm not dismissing it entirely. No, I'm not doing that. Right. But maybe a little more of a happy bounce.
Would you parent your kids the same way that your parents parented you?
No, I've taken the best parts, and there's a lot of great parts, thankfully, with my parents. I've modernized a few things. But there are certain things that are non-negotiable.
Right.
Well, like when I say to put your napkin on your lap and you don't do it for the third time, my voice is getting loud and I don't care who hears it.
But you take the best parts from it, and I think that's what Hal is trying to do.
Yeah.
With the rules his father put in place, while not getting crazy, also looking at this and evolving. Let's hear from Hal Steinbrenner as he met the media today.
I'd like to give a little more color to the statement that was put out a couple hours ago.
Hal? Yeah. First of all, let me apologize for my voice. Allergy season has begun here. I really wanted to try to summarize my journey the last few years regarding this topic, last few months in particular, so that you guys could understand the chronology of it and what happened when and who was involved and so on and so forth. Look, debating and deliberating about this topic is something I've been doing with family members and staff, Cash among others, for years. It comes up on a frequent basis. It comes up on a regular basis. I kind of took an extra step this offseason by starting to talk to people that are with other organizations that I know that are in this industry about just why this is such an important topic, why having beards and being able to have beards is so important to this generation. I also talked to a lot of people that are not in the industry at all that I know. And those people were closer in age to the players than they are to me. So there was a lot of research done on that front. What did I learn from all these conversations? And I'll get into what happened earlier this week in a minute. This generation, you know, the vast majority of 20, 30s, into the 40s men in this country have beards. Our new vice president has a beard. Members of Congress have a beard. The list goes on and on and on in this country and in this world. It is a part of who these younger men are. It's a part of their character. It's a part of their persona. Do I totally relate to that? It's difficult for me. I'm an older guy who's never had a beard in his life. But it's a very important thing to them, and they feel it defines their character. It is also the norm in this country for all the reasons I just talked about. So there were a lot of conversations had. I certainly learned a lot. But the most important thing for me was to sit down face-to-face with several of our players and several of our senior staff. I didn't want to do it over the phone. I didn't want to do it in a group setting. I did it in one-on-one settings. I felt that would be more productive. And I did all that Monday of this week, the first full day of squad practice. There were a lot of things that were told to me that resonated. There were some things that were told to me that were concerning, even if they happened to be more of a hypothetical in nature. But the bottom line is, from those conversations, all the conversations I had in the off season and the last few years with people like Cash, I did make the decision that the policy that was in place was outdated, and given how important it is to that generation, and given that it is the norm in this world today, that it was somewhat unreasonable. So I made the change, talked to the players this morning at the team meeting. I think they understand what my thought process was as well. There will be parameters to this, and they know that, just as we have parameters to our other policies and guidelines. So that's kind of the chronology of the whole thing. And, I mean, obviously I'm here to ask questions.
So. It was Hal Steinbrenner, courtesy of Yes, BT. We'll get his answers on the parameters of it in just a second here. What do you think from what he said right there?
I love it. So far, it's pretty transparent. I've always said that adaptability is key, and maybe it took him a little longer to get here because of the inner conflict with his dad and mm-hmm. something you and I talked about, but... You know, this was not, let me wake up and change a policy of basically half a century. This seems to be a couple of years in the works. People in the sport, people outside the sport. And I think the acknowledgement that, you know, it's a form of self-expression for the younger generation. I think that's good awareness, good stuff.
And he did his homework. He did his due diligence, talking to a lot of people, different generations, different assets, you know, facets of life, whether it's in the game or outside of the game. All right, let's
mention Congress.
Yeah, exactly. Referencing a lot of things. Yeah. Let's listen to more. Courtesy of the Yes Network, here's Hal Steinbrenner on the parameters of that Beard Now policy.
Meredith.
Hal, what are those parameters?
We're gonna put out a policy probably today at some point, Meredith, and you'll see. But we did make it clear, I did make it clear to the players that it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a well-groomed, clean look. It is important to the leaders of our team, who I talk to, that we maintain that disciplined look.
And so. Austin Wells just said on the field, it's been talked about, it's been discussed over the years, but nobody thought that the policy would ever actually change. What was the initial reaction when you had informed the team that the policy was changing?
Well, it was a room crowded with all the players, all the staff, so I didn't really bother to look at, you know, and try to gauge anybody's reaction. I mean, I just can't really answer that.
The key word there for me, BT, and again, that's courtesy of Yes, Hal Steinbrenner. We'll have much more from him. The key there to me was discipline. Now, he said the leaders of our team. What do you think that means?
Judge
Aaron,
Cole.
Aaron Judge, certainly. Yeah, and maybe Garrett Cole as well. I was thinking Aaron Judge. And talking about, hey, it's important that while we let guys be themselves, we also maintain the discipline that has made this organization one of the great organizations in sports. I think that's very important.
I do, too, because it's going to be able to at least maintain a little bit of, kind of delineate the Yankees from other teams a little bit. And he's going to, I think they're going to release today the exact wording of the policy, which they need to do, because as much as I like the term disciplined look, we all know what that means. But again, your interpretation of a disciplined look could differ from mine. So right. I'm very curious what the actual, not the law, but what the new wording is going to be pertaining to a disciplined look.
Let's listen to more Hal Steinbrenner, courtesy of Yes.
Brendan, to the left.
Hal, you said on Monday you had heard some things that were concerning. What were some of the things that were concerning that you heard that really moved you?
Yeah, so all of you know me well enough to know I don't like addressing hypotheticals, but I'm going to break my own rule today because this was a part of my thought process and a part of the decision that I made. If I ever found out that a player we wanted to acquire to make us better, to get us a championship, did not want to be here, and if he had the ability, would not come here because of that policy, as important it is, again, to that generation, that would be very, very concerning. And, you know, I'm fairly convinced that that's a real concern. But that would be one thing.
Well, how about that, BT?
Again,
Hal Steinbrenner, courtesy of Yes. So not directly about Vlad Guerrero Jr., but just after losing Soto. See, this is the real first time that the Yankees got punched to that degree to where they had to at least change their thought process. They have never chased a player to the level that they chased Juan Soto and lost out, let alone to the Mets. It forces you to take an inner look and reevaluate and setting themselves up better, not specifically to Vlad, maybe more so Kyle Tucker, who knows, whatever, but just setting yourself up for the future where you don't want players not wanting to come here because it's a less appealing destination.
Why would you limit who you can add to the mix here? And even if it's, let's just say, Arenado, which I thought they might have the appetite to do it. Apparently they don't. Probably more no than yes, but yeah, he rocks some facial hair. You don't think the Yankees need a third baseman? And again, he used the word hypothetical, so I'm not saying that Arenado communicated to the Cardinals to communicate to the Yankees. I'm not going there because I'm going to have to shave every day. But eventually there's going to be a player. Hell, there may have already been a really good player over the years that just didn't communicate why he chose a different team. But to limit the talent pool, to dilute it, is foolish.
And a lot of young players like to, quote-unquote, rage against the machine, right? The Yankees have been the machine. So when you're being told at that age, I don't know about you, but I felt kind of the same way, even though I was disciplined and respectful of what my father said.
Yep.
When people keep telling you, can't do this, can't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that, your natural instinct is to fight that. Oh, well, the Yankees think they're better than everybody else because you have to have a certain facial hair policy. Screw that. I'm going to go play for somewhere else. I want to wear my hair, right or wrong. I want to wear my hair the way that I want to. And now the Yankees evolving finally to the idea of, hey, maybe there are going to be some players you don't want to miss out on because of just that. Let's listen to more. Courtesy of Yes, here's Hal Steinbrenner.
What do you think your father would have said about your decision today?
You know, a lot of people obviously have asked me that. Winning was the most important thing to my father. And again, I think if somebody came and told him that they were, you know, very sure that this could affect us getting the players we want to get. All we're trying to do every offseason, right, is put ourselves in the best position to get a player that we're trying to get. And if something like this would detract from that, lessen our chances, I don't know. I think he might be a little more apt to do the change that I did than people think, because it was about winning.
And he would know his father better than anybody, BT. I love that. It gives me goosebumps right there and a personal touch to it. I love the fact that he said the number one thing to my father is winning. Yep. He's right about that. But he would also know his father more than anybody. And if he thinks that he might be open to do, it's a very tough spot. I know your father's still living, thank God. Yeah, my father is not here. So I can deal with that in hypotheticals like, God. And certain times there are things that I think of that, you know, well, would that, but I would have a hard time, even after he's no longer here, disobeying something that I knew he believed in. But I thought Hal just struck a perfect balance right there of still sticking with his father's core beliefs, and the number one thing was winning. And if Hal believes that this could potentially lead to more winning, then his father would have been open to it.
I think he nailed that. I think your interpretation is a good one. That's the hardest question. That's the one we were all waiting for. That's the money question, and it was a money response. Now, you know, George never started any conversation about the Yankees with the facial hair policy. It was always about winning and tradition. That the facial hair stuff was a subset of the environment that he created. So for Hal, I mean, that's PR 101, but he could have butchered that, or not butchered. Like, I'm not saying we're grading him, but the chord that he struck, you know, the reverence and the respect for his dad, and highlighting what was most important to his dad while turning over a policy that, and reversing a policy that his dad had for 50 years, basically, this might be the toughest day that Hal has ever had as Yankee owner. I mean, if you honestly think about this, yeah, you could lose the World Series on a broken bat base hit in 0-1 or 0-3 to the Marlins, or, you know, see the Red Sox start a little destiny and go nuts in Game 7 at your crib back in 0-4. You could go through all that stuff. This is a deeper cut. This is a deeper
personal
evaluation. I think he nailed it.
Yeah, I think he's hitting a home run so far. Let's listen to more, courtesy of Yes Network.
Over here, Dave and Eric, to the right.
Yeah, to the right side over here.
Hey, Dave.
How much part of it during those discussions was kind of the being unfair to players that were traded here? I mean, clearly, Devin Williams was somebody who had a beard, didn't seem too happy about coming here and having to shave it. It seemed like it was a situation where guys were being kind of forced to do something they didn't want to do once they came over. Did that play into it, just the trade aspect of it?
I'm not going to talk about which players I sat down with. I just don't want to do that. They may later. But I will tell you, it was a diverse group in that all of them have been here for a different period of time, some longer than others. And I felt that was important to get a good sampling, if you will. So.
And that plays to what we were talking about before, BT, where if you're Devin Williams and you're more comfortable with the beard and you're excited about being traded to the Yankees, but you're like, oh, crap, I got to shave my beard and I don't feel as good and maybe you don't perform as well. There is really something to that. So it's not just him specifically, and we'll hear from the players at some point, probably later on today, whether it's before the game, after the game, whatever, when they address the media on this topic. But I think Hal, again, striking the perfect balance here with not just one player, current player, but former players as well.
And that's the way you do it, because now you get a cross-section of ethnicities, of ages, of all. You're checking every box there, which is what you need to do. Hey, listen, there's something to be said for the mantra, look good, feel good, play good.
Yes.
And, you know, you were saying before, earlier when this came up, how, you know, you want to get back working out, you figure you're a little thick, but, and I felt this way too. There's times when you're on TV and you feel like every word is flowing and every thought is a salient one.
Yeah,
you're rolling. And a lot of it is because you feel like you look, everything's kind of meshing. Then there's other times you feel a little sloppy, a little disjointed.
You ate too much over the weekend, the holidays.
Yeah, maybe a little self-conscious. Yeah, yeah. And then maybe the words aren't quite flowing as much, which could adversely impact the job that you and I do. You know, I don't know if that really applies. Maybe I'm taking it a step too far with somebody like Devin Williams, but maybe not. I mean, you've heard this forever. You want to look the part. And generally, when you look the part, you free your mind up to do your best.
Well, think about it. It's how you feel, how he feels. Some people feel fine being whatever, clean shaven or overweight or whatever clothes they want to wear. Some people don't. And maybe Devin Williams, just using his as an example, we don't know, whoever, pick a player, maybe they feel much more comfortable with a beard. And if you feel more comfortable in whatever it is, shaven or with a beard, you're going to perform better at whatever it is that you do. I think that's just human nature.
I do too. And I also think, and we discussed this within the first couple minutes of the show, like it's very different. Right, you want to hand me a, I don't know, $10 or $11 million contract for $300 or $400 or $500 million. I know what you expect of me as a player. I also know what you expect of me in terms of policies that were written before I got there. It is my option to either sign with you or not. But if I'm traded to the Yankees and I want no part of this antiquated beard policy, I'm kind of stuck.
BT and Sal on the fans. Listen to more Hal Steinbrenner, courtesy of the YES Network.
Hal, can you give an idea of, I know you're not going to name the players, but what some of the things that they may have said to you that resonated, whether they be former players, somebody like CC, or current players?
Yeah, look, some of it is what I've already kind of been through, which is, you know, this is why it's important to our generation. And, you know, not getting into whether they agree or disagree with the policy that's in place, but why it's important. And again, this concept and belief that we may very well be missing out on players, believe it or not, because of this one particular policy that they find very unreasonable.
I wonder if there is a player that they felt that they missed out on because of that. Soto's not that, right? I mean, Soto doesn't care about the facial hair. He seems clean-shaven all the time.
I don't think he does. What about, Hoff just said in my ear, it's a good one, Hoff. What about Luis Castillo, pitcher? I mean, the hair? I mean, there's, I don't know.
What, trading for him? No, I thought they didn't want to trade Volpe for him a couple years ago, right?
Well, but I think also that was because he didn't want to go there. He didn't want
maybe
to cut his hair.
Yeah, okay, maybe. But, I mean, I would bet, we don't know who.
Yeah.
Maybe we can find out after the fact or whatever.
There's somebody.
I would bet that either it made a trade a little more complicated,
mm-hmm,
or a free agent said, you know what?
I agree.
I don't know if it was a high-level guy, but I would bet that at least somebody somewhere recently was like, we're good. We're going to look at the other options.
And even if, say, if it was a trade or a lower level free agent signing, I mean, it could have still been communicated from agent and reps to the Yankees, and maybe the player still acquiesced, so it didn't prevent them from coming, but there was enough evidence like, all right, there's this undercurrent now. Now it's being directly expressed to us, whereas back in the day, it was accepted, it was taken for granted, there was no pushback. Maybe even a few guys who signed on willingly to play for the Yankees via free agency, maybe their camp was like, yeah, listen, he wants to play for you, but this is something you guys got to start looking into because this guy's saying that, or I have this player who, I mean, it's a big community, but it's a small one.
BT and Sal on the fans. Listen to more Hal Steinbrenner, courtesy of the YES Network.
Is there an origin or a starting point for you on this, reviewing the policy? You mentioned that it's been several years. You know, do you remember when something?
I say several years. It may be 10 years. I mean, I it's conversations we have all the time, and his staff and I have all the time. And it's conversations that my nephew Stephen and George and other people in my family have all the time. I mean, it comes up frequently, as you might imagine, I'm sure. So, I mean, whether it was 2 or 3 years ago or 10 to 15, it's been a lot of years.
Could you see yourself growing a beard?
I don't even know if I could grow one. How about you?
We're going to find out.
I've never had one. It's a good question. No, I cannot. But look, this is not a, you need to have a beard policy. This is a beard optional policy, and you're going to see some of our players that feel the same way as I do, I'm sure.
I mean, I feel like on principle, BT, wouldn't you just feel like, you know what? Now I could. I'm going to grow a beard.
Some people hate it. I mean, honestly, I don't think the Yankees come out looking like, you know, ZZ Top on right opening day. I think there's a few guys who suppressed it for the pinstripes. They like the Yankees a lot. They don't love the policy. And now they'll be more true to themselves. But I don't think this is going to be, what was it, 25, 26 guys opening day? I'm going to say maybe 7 or 8 are rocking beards.
Of the hierarchy,
yep,
who do you think is most likely? Hal, Cash, or Booney?
Cash.
Me too.
Cashman.
That's a clear one, right? Hal doesn't seem like he has any interest in it.
No.
And Randy Levine, I can't imagine him wanting to grow out a beard.
You know, maybe October, Boone, a little stubble, a little stubblage there. But I can see Cash doing like a well-kept beard.
Hey,
I really can.
Maybe they should do, remember Knicks used to have their shaved head thing for the postseason?
With the black
outside
sneakers.
Okay, so maybe the Yanks go a little beard for the postseason.
A little change sign of unity up. Here?
Yeah,
like their OMG?
I like it. Yeah, why not? All right, let's listen to more. Hal Steinbrenner.
Hal's doing well.
Yeah, I love this. Yeah. Courtesy of the Yes Network.
Hal, do you know for a fact if you have lost out on any players because they were unwilling to shave?
No, but again, it's a concern that was raised by more than one person that I sat down with. And again, given that I now understand how important of an issue this is to this generation, it's logical that, it can happen.
And will anything change with the hair below the collar, or is it just the face?
I hair policies, other policies are going to remain the same.
All right, and let's hear one more BT from Hal before then we'll take a break, and then we'll hear from Brian Cashman on this whole thing. One more from Hal about his manager potentially growing out the beard, courtesy of Yes.
Gary, over to the left.
Cash just made a joke about we'll find out if he's going to grow a beard. Does the policy change apply to only in-uniform personnel or to everybody?
The policy change we have talked about would apply to coaches and, yes, personnel in the clubhouse. And
behind the scenes, front office employees as well?
Well, I mean, we have employees here that have beards, I mean, as you've seen. So, yeah, it will go past the players themselves.
Interesting that they would have, and that was courtesy of Yes, Hal Steinbrenner, of course, great stuff there. Interesting that the organization would have employees that could have beards, mm-hmm. but just not the players, who are obviously the ones who are going to be visible.
I was going to use the word visible. Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the root of it. I mean, listen, just come on, guys. Go think about when you walk. Yeah, I had to go to Walgreens last night after our kids' basketball games, right? Had to get some shaving cream, had to get some razors. Right, ironically, okay. I was out of deodorant. Had to get a couple things, right? You go to any drugstore, and whether it's beard wash or beard oil.
Yeah, the colors and all that.
It's as prevalent as, I don't want to say as prevalent as deodorant. That's a hygiene thing, but it's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere for a reason.
Is it a new thing, though?
I'd say the last 10, 12 years or so, the beard community, even like the self-razors for the edging.
Beards were more rare back then because of more discipline looks.
It
had to come from somewhere.
I just think, I can't prove this, and you'd have to even ask somebody older than me. I think that there for a while there was an association with beards and long hair with a cavalier renegade attitude. That's why you look at a lot of the rockers. Think about Led Zeppelin, obviously, in the 70s. Think about Motley Crue in the 80s. Like, that was just a vibrant, wild...
Who had the beards on Motley Crue?
No, not beards, the long hair. Nikki Sixx, they all had the long hair. Right. But, I mean, ZZ Top, I mean, you just think about 70s rock, 70s hard rock, and even Creedence Clearwater, like non-hard rock. That was just the look, so... And I think that was always positioned as a little as against anti-institutions. And I think that traces back kind of to war, and most recently the end of the Vietnam War. But hey, listen, it's 2025. The Vietnam War ended in 75. George passed away a long time ago, and I give Cal a ton of credit for striking a good balance. He didn't completely swallow his moral compass, what his dad believes in, because it's still about winning.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's just an updated smart move.
And it's still about discipline as well, which is a great thing to have in any organization. We'll hear from Brian Cashman on the new hair policy when we come back. Right now, let's go back to, where are they? In Tampa, I'm assuming, is Hal down in there? Okay, let's go back to Tampa, courtesy of the YES Network. We just heard from Hal Steinbrenner, BT. Now let's hear from Yankees general manager, president, general manager, whatever. Oh, no, president is Levine. Yankees general manager, Brian Cashman, courtesy of the YES Network.
Brian Hope, right here.
Anything for Cash?
Yeah, I asked. In your time here, has this been a topic when you pursue free agents? Can you see this impacting negotiations?
Well, I think to Hal's point, this is kind of a situation where there's been so much change in the game. You know, I think this is a little bit of an evolution and a nudge on our part to make an adjustment also and recognize, in our internal conversations over the last number of years, you see the uniform has changed. You know, we're obviously honoring to help raise awareness and money for breast cancer awareness or prostate cancer. You're seeing pink hats and pink shoes and blue hats and blue shoes or military awareness weekend, and you're seeing camouflage hats, or you have, successfully negotiated with the Players Association. Now, the old Yankee tradition was only black shoes, spikes, but now players with the latest iterations of the basic agreement can wear any color shoes and any color belts that they might want. For instance, we have a sponsorship patch on the uniform, for instance. So there's a lot of things that have changed over the course of time, and so a lot of the discussions we've had with players past and present, I can intimately share with you that whether it's an amateur scout being in a room with a potential drafted prospect that is going to go somewhere pretty good in terms of a draft area, and every now and then, not much, but does come up like, well, I'd prefer not to get drafted by you guys because of that policy, we brought CC here, but CC, it was a hesitant thing because of the facial hair situation, because he liked to have that, and that's something when you come here and you make the choice to come here, you have to make a choice to park that. I actually had an on-roster invite discussion this spring where somebody's like, well, the agent shared back, now he's just got to decide whether he wants to shave or not, so it's a real thing. Whether it is the ultimate end-all be-all preventable thing, I can't say. It's an individual. We've had a lot of great people that have come here to put that uniform on and ultimately comply, and everybody here is willing to comply. That's the great thing about they understand, they have a platform to share and discuss, but then even in today's iteration of our locker room, people would express, it's not what I want, it's not my preference, but I will honor the rules of the land. And but again, I think what Hal Steinbrenner with his family has done is they've engaged the past and the present, and I've been here a long time, so even though there has been a policy in place, I've got two guys in camp, Andy Pettit every 5 days, especially in the postseason, or Roger Clemens, they get that shadow showing up, and then day of game on a game they're starting, I'm not going to be like, hey, or the manager of the day, whether it's Joe Torre or Girardi or whomever, like, hey, you got to shave today. It's like, they got the game ball today, I'm not going to mess with it. But it was something that they valued. They've shared that, it's something they felt better with, stronger with. You've seen the history of our last 30 years and players, they sometimes have a little bit more on a certain day in season than they normally would, until we'd have to go swing around and deal with it. But, it's important to some people. And I think ultimately, Hal Steinbrenner has gotten that piece to, there might be a little bit of an adjustment that's worthy of considering and ultimately now doing. And that's all this is about.
All right, so we heard from Hal Steinbrenner. That was, of course, Brian Cashman, general manager of the Yankees. And he got a little more specific. He told us, all right, well, listen, CC Sabathia eventually acquiesced, but when We brought him here. There was some trepidation. Even mentioned Pettit and Clemens in the postseason. Both of those guys like to rock the scruff, and they really couldn't the way they wanted to. And most recently, talked about a non-roster spring invitee a couple of days ago that said, basically, I'm not interested.
Right. So before the break, we were assuming that there had been circumstances that have taken place where the Yankees may have lost out on a player or whatever, and now we just got it confirmed from Brian Cashman, without getting into specifics about certain guys, all the guys over the years. You just heard right there, it was a factor. It will not be a factor any longer.
A very interesting day in Yankee history. Back down to Tampa, Yankees GM Brian Cashman as they do away with a 49-year hair policy.
Gabe in the middle.
How, when you talk about clubhouse leadership these days, so much of it comes back to Aaron Judge. What was your conversation with Aaron like, and what impact did his words have on the decision?
Well, he and Garrett Cole and Stanton, I mean, we've got some great leaders on this team, and I met with all of them. It goes back to a lot of what I started off by saying. I kind of talked about my thoughts and why I'm considering this, and you know, I want to get your honest opinion. That's why it's just you and me, and not we're not doing this in a big group setting. And as I said, the meetings were very productive. But, I mean, yes, when Aaron came up, right, through our organization, through our minor leagues. I mean, he is a Yankee, true Yankee, and he cares about the team and the franchise greatly. So obviously, Garrett as well. I talked to Stanton, said I wasn't going to say who I talked to, but they are, you know, three of our leaders. So of course, yes. I mean, his comments resonated with me, many of them. As did the other players I talked to as well.
All right, there you have it, courtesy of, yes, Brian Cashman, Hal Steinberg. We have some more sound, too, BT. Let's get one more clip here, or at least one more hop. How many we got?
We got a couple. Yeah.
All right, we got a couple more. Let's go back to Tampa. Courtesy of, yes, listen to more from Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman.
Hal, did any of the players you spoke to argue for keeping the beard?
No, not by the end of the conversation. I mean, I could tell there were a couple, that have been here and are used to the way things are. But that was the whole idea of this last step of this long process of mine, was to really get opinions and talk about not just the pros, but the cons as well. And, I think once we did that, anybody that I was sitting in front of, I think everybody understood that this is something that we should at least consider.
All right, so there you go. Now the next thing is going to be very interesting. Of course, that's Hal Steinbrenner, owner of the Yankees, back down to Tampa, courtesy of, yes, on the payroll, the spendings. This is something you guys are going to want to hear. Go ahead, guys.
Chris, over left. Take a few more.
I have a non-beard question. It's been nearly 20 years since a team that advanced to the World Series lowered payroll the following season. You're currently running a lower payroll than you had last year. Is it your intention to reduce payroll this year?
Our payroll now is almost identical to last year.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what people have to calculate it correctly. You have to take into account how many injuries you're going to have, but, make an assumption on that. So that tends to vary numbers somewhat. But we're right at 307, 308. And I think last year we were 310. So we're right there.
Okay. And it's also been reported by many people that you're looking to get under the $301 million threshold. Is that accurate?
I would say no. The threshold is not the concern to me. The concern to me is, I've said this till I'm blue in the face, I had to change my numbers because times have changed from 10 years ago. But we have great people here. We have a good player development system. Good young players that have come up, the Volpes and the Wells, Heal, and that will continue to come up. Should I really need a $300+ million payroll to win a championship? Does having a huge payroll really increase my chances that much of winning a championship? I'm not sure there's a strong correlation there. Having said that, we're the New York Yankees. We know what our fans expect. We're always going to be among the highest in payroll. That's not going to change. And certainly didn't change this year. We're right there.
Okay, so I would respectfully push back on the player developmental stuff, pardon me. Now, the finances are what they are, and there's always going to be fluctuations. Guys get hurt, minor league contracts obviously convert to major league contracts, whatever. That's nickel and dime stuff, big picture. Yankees at 307, 308 now. Last year, they were at 310. All right, but to me, You know, when you talk about player development, I do think that Howell stretches the boundaries of what they've actually done in terms of what's really a success story outside of Aaron Judge and some signs from Volpe. And, you know, I like Wells, but that's now. There's also been a long, long swath of Yankee baseball where they had to continuously buy left fielders, they had to continuously buy first basemen. They had to, you know, they had to buy an ace in CC, had to buy an ace in Gerrit Cole. And I think Yankee fans certainly appreciate that, but I think Hal's overstating the player development. That's really been my biggest knock on the Yankees. I got to be honest with you.
Hal handled himself perfectly so far this morning while addressing the facial hair policy. Comfortable, confident, nailing every which way. The first question about money is where I could hear him retreating and getting uncomfortable. And again, referencing the payroll and, oh, you got to get your facts straight. Here are the facts. The Yankees used to spend $50 million more, $20 million more than the next, and now they're fourth in total payroll. Does that equate to winning? No, but the Dodgers won the World Series. Look where their payroll is. Ultimately, you do have to have a top payroll if you want to compete at the highest of levels consistently, and the Yankees have had that. And more so, BT, to your point, I don't want to hear the complaining about it. The Yankees have high ticket prices just like everybody else. They have a great product.
No, higher than most.
Yeah, okay, well.
If not everybody else.
I'm trying to be nice, but yes, well, okay.
Let's be fair.
Yeah, okay,
what
is. Okay, high ticket prices, and they put out a great product. So you should be going out there, and you're going to pay what get what you pay for. But nobody wants to hear him talk about how, well, I shouldn't have to spend. We know that. We know that. You shouldn't have to. You shouldn't have to. Steve Cohen shouldn't have to. Nobody should have. The Dodgers shouldn't have to, but they do. That's the reality. And the reality is you're the New York Yankees. So stop talking about the payroll. Nobody wants to hear it. We want to see you spend the money on a team that's going to win the World Series and compete with the Dodgers and beat the Dodgers, not be made a laughing stock by the Dodgers, which is what happened after the World Series. It's not because they didn't spend enough, but nobody wants to hear it when the Dodgers are going out there spending all this money. And Hal just, he's been doing this for years. It's the same thing with the payroll.
To be fair, he was asked about it, so he's got to respond.
I know, but the way he can handle it is, to me, differently. It sounds like he's making excuses. We all know the truth, right? Like, he is right. You shouldn't have to spend $300 million to build a winning ball club.
Astros didn't.
Okay, right. And the Rays have been a 91 team forever. They didn't win a World Series. The A's years ago, making the postseason all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, but you're the Yankees. It's
I get
different.
It. I mean, listen, you know, I mentioned Mattingly with a haircut back in the day with Stump Merrill when he got suspended for a length of his hair. Yankees haven't developed the first baseman since Don Mattingly. Don Mattingly came up in 1982 for a few at-bats, and then 83, and then obviously he was off. The 80s, Michael Jackson was dropping Thriller last time the Yankees had a first baseman that came. Now, I'm not talking about Luke Voit. I mean, you have Mattingly, then you trade for Tino, and then you obviously get Giambi, then you sign Mark Teixeira, then it's been a mixed bag, the Rizzos, the Goldies, the this. So I do think that he blurs the line of success in this regard. Because Jeter was Jeter,
yeah.
And because Bernie was Bernie, and Moe and Pettit, like, those were core staples.
Posada, that's
a long time ago.
Okay, but whose fault is that? So while Hal is right in saying what he's saying, drafting, developing, all that stuff, then he's got to acknowledge that the person whose job is to draft and develop and all that stuff, he's kept on forever, and they haven't done it well enough. All these guys that we heard about, trading for Gleyber Torres is going to be a stud. Bust. Gary Sanchez, El Kraken, bust. How many other guys? Jesus Montero, bust. Think of all the recent guys that we've had.
Let's hope Dominguez isn't I don't think he will be, but let's hope he's not.
I was going to get into that. Again this year, even in a year where the payroll over $300 million, you're relying very heavily on Dominguez, Volpe, and Wells, just to name a few. We think they're going to be okay. Volpe hasn't lived up to what he was supposed to be for two straight years. Not even close. They prevented trading him, which could have, I mean, one of those trades could have led them to a World Series in recent years. Who knows? But they held on to him because they thought he was going to be a star. Not because he was going to be a 250, 18 home run hitter a year.
Well, and think about this, Sal. Excuse me. I just ran through the first base stuff. Third base, not quite the same, but, you know, think about the experiment with Donaldson, and now you have an aging veteran who's on his last legs in DJ who might have to play third, who they didn't draft. They signed him from Colorado. Now the talk about, go get Arenado. Maybe they should have signed Bregman. Like, they forget about, you know, first base is one aspect of what they haven't developed. They haven't developed a third baseman, you know, which led behind the plate really since Posada. Let's give McCann a contract. You know, I do think Wells is going to be the real deal, but I mean the Molinas and the other, you know, stopgaps, the Kyle Higashiokas. I mean, there's so many positions, and I do think that there's a big difference between the pitchers, most notably relief pitchers, and now Luis Gil and Schmidt, that the Yankees have developed, but their position players, it's been woefully inefficient and unsuccessful. And, you know, I'm a fan of Hal. I am a believer in what Hal does. I am happy that Aaron Boone got a 2-year extension. But I've also, because I think he deserves it, but I've also said the main problem with the Yankees over the years is that their approach has not been modernized. And who's in charge of that approach? That's the general manager.
One more from the courtesy of the Yes Network, Hal Steinbrenner to talking about the finances.
Sticking on the subject of money and payrolls, there's been some talk about the possibility of pushing for a salary cap in the next CBA. Is that something you would support?
You know, we're right in the middle of a labor agreement right now. I mean, the only thing I'm focused on, seriously, is 2025. I'm not even focused on 2026, much less, you know, what the world's going to look like 3 or 4 years from now. I have been on the record already saying that, you know, I would consider supporting a cap depending on what the cap is, and contingent on the fact that there's also a floor, so that clubs that I feel aren't spending enough money on payroll to improve their team would have to spend more. So, I mean, I'm on the record saying that, so I'll say it again, but that's about all I have to add.
Are you concerned, or have you considered that if there were to be a cap, even if there is a floor, you're taking away an advantage from yourself, essentially?
Again, I trust in Cashman and everybody under him. That our player development system will stay as strong as it has been the last few years. I mean, that's why we put so much money into it, you know, and I believe that's going to be the case. Now, we have traded away a lot of guys the last few years, but we still have a lot of great players coming up really at all levels, and I expect that to continue, and that's you've seen our young players and how they contribute. I mean, that also has to be a part. You also need the veterans and the superstars, but the young players have to be a big part of it too, and they're going to continue to be for us, I think.
Oh, who are the young guys exactly that have been contributing at that level that we expected them to? I'd love to know. What he's saying isn't wrong, that you need the balance and you need that, but how can you continue to trust the people who are drafting and developing when it hasn't worked out? What, Aaron Judge? He's the one outlier as opposed to all the other guys. Like, Volpe's been... What? How would you describe his first 2 years?
Uneven for sure, but interesting enough for me to think he's going to be the Yankee shortstop for about 10 years or so. Maybe move over to second.
I would use two.
I don't love him. I like him.
Serviceable and disappointing. He was supposed to be more. By the way, he still could be more, but we're going into year three.
Yeah.
And all I'm doing is asking for examples. Like, I've heard about Dominguez. I've seen Dominguez play, what, 26 games at the big league level? He hasn't done anything yet.
We've heard about Peraza for years. We haven't seen him hit. We've heard about Pereira. I mean, I listen, I've always been very transparent with this. They just don't develop enough. Where are the dynamic, you know, 4-5-2 players that the Yankees pump out? I haven't seen any except Aaron Judge.
Yeah, Judge is the one. Okay, the Baby Bombers, right, when they had success. Okay, where are we now with the Baby Bombers? Like, all those guys are...
They're basically out of baseball. Yeah, Greg Bird's done.
Right. Gary Sanchez was hanging on.
Bouncing from team to team for basically a couple of mil each year.
Gleyber was supposed to be a stud. He showed flashes 1 year, fell off. Like, these guys have had some success. Mm-hmm. They were never able to maintain it, which has hurt them. By the way, for the pitching part of things, the Yankees have missed on pitching time and time again outside of the bullpen, because I think they've nailed the bullpen for the most part.
I think they've crushed the bullpen.
But the starters have been, and going back to like Paxton and Pineda and guys like that,
yep,
until they were able to land Gerrit Cole, they were struggling for that top guy. Rodon was not what they thought that they were getting with him, and that's a bad contract. I know we disagree on what he is. I don't think anybody would give him the contract that he ended up getting. We'll see with Max Fried. I think that's a safer bet, similar to Gerrit Cole. But Hill and Clark Schmidt, again, they've shown flashes. Hill did it for 1 year.
They won the Rookie of the Year. Same thing about Luis Hill. Clark Schmidt would have won 15, 20 games and he'd get hurt. The rotation's
he's hurt
good.
Again.
I know. The bulky back. I'm not worried about the It's the position
players. But I'm just saying that before we anoint Luis Gil and Clark Schmidt as Gibbons, can they maybe do... Because you would have said the same thing about Gleyber Torres when he came up and hit 30-something home runs.
38.
Like, this guy's going to be a stud. Gary Sanchez, he comes up. This guy's Babe Ruth. Spencer Jones a year ago. Draft and develop. Spencer Jones replaced him for Juan Soto. We haven't heard a peep about Spencer Jones.
Not a pop.
So
not a pop
I'm not trying to knock the Yankees. We just got to be realistic.
No, I don't think it's a knock. I think it's an honest interpretation of what they've been good at and what they have been below average at. You know, I mean, really, I look around the diamond. Who's that, you know, who's that lefty slashing 290, 20-something home run stud who's playing either, you know, center or, you know, an athletic spot that's stealing 35, 40? I see other teams with those guys. Yankees haven't had one of those guys ever.
Yeah. Judge is, you know, obviously, and he makes up for some of the deficiencies of all the others because he's so great. But it can't be just one. Maybe Volpe's going to be that guy. Maybe Dominguez was. And I think that's going to be the difference for this Yankee team. If Dominguez does what they expect him to, if Volpe takes a step forward and Wells does what they expect him to, they're going to be really freaking good and really tough to beat. But those are three ifs in young guys. We saw the last baby bomber generation fail with multiple guys, and they never got over the hump. We'll see what this one could do.